You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Peace on earth. Hallelujah. More precious than fine gold to have the peace of God in your heart. Amen. What a wonderful job they did. So proud of them. Hallelujah. I was thinking that there are a whole lot of groups that are dancing because of some of them that have started the dance and did it at camp and things like that. A lot of the groups have taken it back to their churches and have praise dance teams, whatever you call them. I was thinking about the power of God and the impartation of God in our lives. I'll put it on in a minute. I haven't forgotten. I want to say something. I don't want necessarily to go. I guess I could put it on. If it goes on there, you can take it out, right? I got some newfound equipment here, so hallelujah. Yeah, I might need assistance. I might have to switch it the other way. They obviously did these for men in mind. Been more convenient, huh? But what I was thinking about when they were dancing is I got an email yesterday. And it was from a church, that one of the churches that come to camp here. And the email was thanking us for everything that we do for their kids and how much it has changed their life and how much it has been an impartation in their life. And they were wanting to make some plans, and they want to make sure that their plans don't interfere with camp and things like that. And they said, I want you to know that our boys come there to camp, and one of our sons was elected by his school, chosen by his school to be in the governor's honors program and to go into this program for the summer. It's a very elite group, and not many people get chosen to go into that group. And he was chosen to go in it, and so they were honored. But when he found out that it was the week of camp, he turned it down and said, nope, I'm not going there. I'm going to camp because I would rather be at camp than to be in that program. The other son got chosen to be on an all-star football team and to go to a football academy thing, and he found out that it was a week of camp, and he turned it down. He said, nope, I'm going to camp. He said, I wouldn't miss camp for anything. He said, it has changed my life. And he said, I would rather go to camp 1 week than turn down that 4 or 6 week program that they were elected to be in so that they could come and be with us in youth camp. And God is doing incredible, miraculous things in their life. And so I wanted to share that with you all because I want you to know that what you have done here, whether it's been in the kitchen with the little kids up here, whatever it is you have done here, people's lives are changed because of it. And you may not always get to hear those stories, but when I hear those stories, they make me weep to think that in the days when we thought that it maybe it wasn't successful, or should we continue, or was it doing anything, that the testimonies that come back and say, you literally saved my life, and because of you. I had another girl contact me this week. She said she's not with the church that she'd been with before, but she said, I came to youth camp this year and it changed my life. Can I come back if I drive on my own? Can I come back to camp? And so I said, well, you contact me when it gets a little bit closer and we'll get you some information and stuff. So people are contacting me now. And I'm not talking about adults. Kids are contacting me saying, we want to make sure we don't interfere with the week of camp. So when is camp and can we come? And so I'm just always blessed by that. And when I see the kids do what they do, I think, what an impartation and what a future they have. Amen, to understand the anointing and power of God in their life and to take that and to see where that will go from here. Amen. Even in just a year's time, in 2 years' time, the power and the anointing of God that I see in the lives of these kids, how incredible it is to me. So I'm honored by that. And we have never said here it's the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. I'm just as blessed by the aisles of little kids that are dancing in worship as I am by any of the other stuff that goes on. And so I don't take that stuff lightly. When they dance before the Lord, I am blessed. Amen. And I am honored to be in their presence and honored to feel the anointing and the power of God and to see it working in their lives. Because you'll never convince me they don't feel the anointing. You'll never convince me that they're just up here just because it's the thing to do. Amen. There is something that connects in the spirit. When you lift your hands to God and when you begin to praise and when you begin to offer yourself unto God, there's something that happens. Amen. At any age. Hallelujah. And can I say, even from the womb. Hallelujah. This is ringing a little bit. Even from the womb. The power of God is powerful. We're going to talk about that this morning, the power of God, that even from the womb, amen, the anointing and power of God. As I was studying our sermon last week, I talked to you this morning already. We talked last Sunday about Zachariah and Elizabeth. Zachariah and Elizabeth are just one of my favorite stories, I think, of the Bible. And they're one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story. Because it's just such a powerful transition period. I just somehow, can put myself in Zachariah and Elizabeth's place that for 400 years, there hasn't been a prophetic word in the earth, and all of a sudden, God is up to something. All of a sudden, God starts making some visitations. All of a sudden, God starts to speak. All of a sudden, things start to say, and people are caught off guard and saying, wow, this is just the hand of God in our life. And when God shows up, in that holy place when Zechariah is offering incense unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And he stands on the right side of the altar of incense. And he begins to declare to Zechariah, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Your prayers have been heard. I want you to know this morning, regardless of what you think, your prayers have been heard. How many know Zechariah prayed some prayers? 400 years worth of prayers had been prayed for God to do something in the nation of Israel. But for years and years and years, Zechariah and Elizabeth had cried out and prayed and thought maybe God hadn't heard anything. But all of a sudden, the angel Gabriel shows up in the most holy place and said, I have heard your prayers. Hallelujah. I have heard your prayers and your wife, Elizabeth, who others have called barren, who others have called unfruitful, who others have said she's past her day, she's past her time, and she's past her prime. I want you to know Elizabeth's womb is not past my time. And I'm about to do something in the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth that's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. I'm going to pick a house from somewhere and out of a righteous household, out of a house where they didn't fail to give prayer and praise unto God, God began to raise up out of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Hallelujah, the seed of God that was going to prepare the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the scripture says that Zechariah says, he begins to question and said, are you sure? And do you know my wife Elizabeth? And how can this thing happen? How can this come to pass? And he says, I am Gabriel. I am Gabriel. That stands in the very presence of God. Hallelujah. I mean, when God speaks, something happens. And I said this morning before we started, if we'll get that idea of that prayer and praise and incense unto God, I'm going to tell you, when we stand in that place, how many know God shows up and miracles happen? We're setting ourselves up for the miraculous. Hallelujah. When we begin to lift our hands and our hearts in praise, how many know these people, the scripture says they were upright before God. Blameless. That's what the scripture said. They were righteous before God. Hallelujah. I mean, you can be barren and not be bitter. Amen. The scripture doesn't say they were angry. It doesn't say they were mad at God. It doesn't say they were questioning God. How many know they did everything they knew to do and they left the rest up to God? And in our lives, sometimes there may be barren places. There may be things where we say, God, I don't understand this. Or God, things don't seem like they're working out the way I thought they would be. Or God, where are you in all my situation? The scripture says that Zechariah and Elizabeth just continued to lift up a praise unto God. Hallelujah. And in the midst of that prayer and praise, the angel Gabriel shows up and said, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And because you did not believe, how many of us would have walked out of there speechless? A couple of us over here on this side, we'd have walked out of there speechless, because I'm afraid I'd have probably had a few questions. Amen? I'd have probably walked out of there speechless. He said, because you did not believe, you will not speak until the time when the child is born. How many know he doesn't need you to sanction it with your voice? He doesn't need your voice to cause it to make it to happen. So many times we think we got to say it, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, all those kind of things. And if we don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Can I just tell you, in your silence, sometimes God does greater things in our silence than sometimes he does in our noise and our shouting and our moaning and groaning, whatever it is. How many know sometimes in the silence of God, it's a good thing? Yep. Hallelujah. The voice of the prophets have been silenced for 400 years before the time of Zechariah, and now for 9 more months, he's going to be silenced. But at the declaration and the pronunciation, he says, his name shall be called John. And when he says that, his mouth is open, his tongue is loose, because we're not going to call him what everybody else calls it. You might call it forsaken. You might call it lost. You might call it broke. You might call it sick. You might call it cancer. We're not calling it by all those names. We're going to call it God is gracious. The graciousness of God is at work here. Hallelujah. And so sometimes we need to just call it what God calls it. Let's just call it grace. Let's just call it God. Let's just call it blessed. Let's call it the healed of the Lord. Let's call it what God calls it. Let's call it John. Hallelujah. And so I want to talk a little bit this morning about Mary, because Mary gets a visitation too from the same angel Gabriel. Gabriel's on a mission. Hallelujah. But anybody in here ever had the opportunity to listen to Handel's Messiah? Anybody? A few people have. When Beth was in college, one of the years in college, they did Handel's Messiah. Now, I'm not a big classical music fan, not because I don't like the music. I don't understand a lot of classical music. You know, some of it, you may have your preference or whatever. But Handel's Messiah is one of those profound pieces of work that if you ever get to go hear it or see it, it's incredible. I sat there in the college at Fairmont University with chills going up and down my spine. I'm looking for restaurant receipts or McDonald's coupons or something to write notes on, because God is speaking to me at Fairmont College, and because they're preaching in Handel's Messiah. But Handel's Messiah, let me just read you a little thing about it, is written by George Frederick Handel. I think I'm saying that right. It says, his father tried to discourage him. His father tried to discourage his musical interest, preferring that he enter the legal profession. But the organ, harpsichord, and violin captured the heart of young Frederick Handel. How many know he wasn't a lawyer, he was a worshiper? Hallelujah. Once accompanying his father to court of Duke Johann Adolf, George wandered into the chapel, found the organ, and started improvising. The startled Duke exclaimed, "Who is this remarkable child?" This remarkable child soon began composing operas, first in Italy, then in London. By his 20s, he was the talk of England and the best-paid composer on earth. He opened the Royal Academy of Music. Londoners fought for seats at his every performance, and his fame soared around the world. But the glory passed. Audiences dwindled. His music became outdated, and he was thought of as an old fogey. Newer artists eclipsed the aging composer. One project after another failed, and Handel, now bankrupt, grew depressed. The stress brought on a case of palsy that crippled some of his fingers. "Handel's great days are over," wrote Frederick the Great. "His inspiration is exhausted." Yet his troubles also matured him, softening his sharp tongue. His temper mellowed and his music became more heartfelt. One morning, Handel received by post a manuscript from Charles Jennens. It was a word-for-word collection of biblical texts about Christ. The opening words from Isaiah 40, and you can go ahead and put that up for me, Carlin. From Isaiah 40 moved Handel. Comfort ye my people. On August 22nd, 1741, Handel shut the door of his London home and started composing music for the words. 23 days later, the world had Messiah. Whether I was in the body or out of the body, when I wrote it, I know not, Handel later said, trying to describe the experience. Messiah opened in London to enormous crowds on March 23, 1743, with Handel leading from his harpsichord. King George II, who was present that night, surprised everyone by leaping to his feet during the Hallelujah chorus. No one knows why. Some believe the king, being hard of hearing, thought it was the national anthem. I have a speculation. I think probably the king got the Holy Ghost all over him and couldn't help himself when they started singing the Hallelujah chorus. No matter, because from that day, audiences everywhere have stood in reverence during the stirring words, Hallelujah, for he shall reign forever and ever. Handel's fame was rekindled, and even after he lost his eyesight, he continued playing the organ for performances of his oratorios until his death in London, April 14th, 1759. It ain't over till it's over. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this morning, it ain't over till it's over. Handel thought his greatest days was behind him, only to realize in his old age that God had something bigger and something greater. But the difference is when the Holy Ghost gets on you, you shut the door and you stay there for 23 days if you need to until the Holy Ghost reveals to you what he wants to say. And when it's anointed and inspired by the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, we still are hearing in 2012 Handel's Messiah that he wrote back in the 1700s. How many know that's God? That's God. Hallelujah. And so I want to start out with the scripture that he starts Handel's Messiah with, Isaiah 40, 1 through 14. It says, comfort ye my people. The title of my sermon today is The Comforter. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. It's over. That her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Her punishment is over. That's what that scripture says. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Can I tell you, as Christians, we don't have to have this kind of a relationship with the Lord. I don't live on a roller coaster relationship, and I don't live in the valley. I mean, no, every high place is being brought low. Every low place is being made up. It can be a walk that's just like this, not like this. How many of you are tired of this kind of relationship with the Lord? Well, I got good news for you. I got comforting words today. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the Lord, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, O Bethlehem of Judah, behold, your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heavens with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Go to Isaiah 7 and 14. One of the next scriptures that comes up in the great work of Handel Messiah. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What's the sign? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Here's your sign. Meaning, God with us. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Next verse. 6 and 7, that's what I had there. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Hallelujah. These are all prophetic utterances of Isaiah the prophet. Now, I got to tell you, probably a whole lot of people thought that Isaiah had lost his marbles. That Isaiah was off of his rocker. Because how many know when Isaiah began to prophesy these things, that isn't what it looked like. And then he starts saying crazy things like, for behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. How many know a virgin doesn't conceive? Hallelujah. Not in your realm of thinking. How many know sometimes we've got to get out of our realm of thinking and get out of our mindsets, because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so he begins to declare and prophesy. I mean, it's hundreds of years before this prophecy comes to pass. If the prophecy hasn't come to pass yet, do you call him a false prophet? Just because your prophecy hasn't come to pass yet doesn't mean it's not valid. Doesn't mean it's void. Doesn't mean it's not a true prophetic voice. Amen. Sometimes we just need to wait on God's timing for God to perform what he wants to perform and what he wants to do. Go over with me now to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 26 where we left off last week. Luke 1 and verse 26. Last thing we heard was, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Hallelujah. Elizabeth hid herself 5 months. And we talked about that a little bit last week. About her hiding herself, or her staying in a secret place, as it were, until the time. How many know the only way that Elizabeth would know that she was with child in this day is when either she starts to show or she starts to feel something inside of her? Because the Bible says she was already past the time of women. In other words, she'd already went through menopause. Amen? So she's not getting a monthly sign to let her know whether she's pregnant or not. All she's got is a promise. I mean, sometimes when all you've got is a promise, you just need to find a secret place and hang on to the promises of God until you know that you know that you know that something is taking in place inside of you. Amen? Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean God's not working. Doesn't mean God's not already at work on your behalf. Hallelujah. And so sometimes we got to find that place where we're just waiting on God to do what he promised that he would do. But in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. That means she was engaged to him, but they weren't married. But they were under a legal contract by Jewish law that they would be married at the time of their yearly contract. And so while she's engaged, while she's picking out wedding flowers, while she's picking out her wedding dress, while her mom and them are making all kinds of plans, and everybody in the family knows that the wedding's going to take place. I mean, when a wedding takes place, everything else kind of gets put to the side. And so she's engaged. She's a spouse to Joseph. And while she's just being a good little Jewish girl, the angel came in unto her in verse 28 and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Number one, Jewish people put a whole lot of emphasis on salutations. If you remember, Jesus rebuked some of the Pharisees and scribes of the day and said, because you like to have big salutations in public places, you may like to make a big to-do about who you are. But in this instance, for a man to have a salutation for a woman would have been very much out of character and outside the law. And even their husbands at this time, the history says that their husbands didn't even make a salutation in this manner. So when this angel shows up and wants to greet Mary and makes a salutation, his words are, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be the son of the highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Does that sound familiar? Yeah. We just read that over in Isaiah. Yeah. Hallelujah. "He shall reign over the house of David forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." I mean, no, that's good news today. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Hallelujah. How many know she was called barren, but that doesn't remain her name? How many know there's another calling for Elizabeth, and it's not barren? "For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." So the angel Gabriel shows up at Mary's house with a salutation that she's never heard before. And the salutation starts out saying, "Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." Hallelujah. And she begins to say, "You are favored of the Lord. You are blessed among women." Hallelujah. "And you are to become the mother of the Lord." And she begins to say to him, not random words. He goes back and quotes prophet Isaiah and begins to say everything that Isaiah said 400 years ago and proclaimed the same prophecy, only different time, different day. And he begins to share with her everything that she's probably heard read in the scrolls of the temple from day to day in their lifetime. How many know they were read the scrolls and they've heard these scriptures? And how many know about this time in your life you're thinking, I've heard these, but it just don't seem like nothing happened. But all of a sudden the angel Gabriel shows up at your house and begins to say the same thing that you've already been hearing. Hallelujah. And she says, well, how can this be? Because I don't know a man. I've never been with a man. How can I conceive and bear the Messiah and call his name Jesus? Aren't you glad that what God is doing in this day is not of man? It has nothing to do with man. It has only thing to do with a womb that is willing to receive the seed of God and say, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word, according to your purpose. Whatever it is, God, you have in mind for my life, bring it on, because I am a willing vessel to receive what you want me to receive. Hallelujah. If you got something in store for me, God, I'm willing. I'm ready. I want you to pour out, pour into me whatever it is you have in mind for me. Hallelujah. How can this be? Well, it's going to be of the Holy Ghost. This is going to be a holy thing. This thing is going to be of God. It's going to be through the comforter, because Isaiah declared, comfort ye, my people. Hallelujah. How many know what God's about to do? He's going to do it through the comforter. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the comforter unto you. Hallelujah. And so he begins to say, the Holy Ghost. This is a Holy Ghost thing. The Holy Ghost is about to do something great and mighty in your midst. And she says, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. And all of that sounds great and noble and mighty. And everybody's thinking, oh man, to be chosen to be the mother of the Lord. Doesn't come without a few hitches in the plan. Because now her next step is, she's got to tell somebody. The scripture doesn't tell us if she tells Elizabeth first or if she tells Joseph first. I don't really know. Joseph isn't even mentioned in this book of Luke in that sense. Matthew talks about the encounter of Joseph from the angel Gabriel. I don't really know which one gets told first, but she's got to tell somebody. The next verse says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country of haste, into a city of Judah. Because the angel just said, and you know your cousin Elizabeth? Guess what? She's going to have a baby too. You know those they call barren? She's going to have a baby. You know those that they've called past her time? She's going to have a baby. She's going to have the forerunner. She's going to have the one who's coming in the spirit of Elijah. She's going to have the one that's out of the rest of that scripture that I just quoted to you, that he's going to prepare the way of the Lord to make his path straight. He's going to say every high place is going to be brought low. Every low place is going to be brought high. Guess what? Your cousin Elizabeth, she's carrying that baby. So who are you going to talk to? I'm going to see Elizabeth. And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted, remember the salutation, saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears and in my spirit, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. Here's a little bit about my version of what I think happens. Mary packs up her bag and says, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to happen. But all I know is God mentioned a name, Elizabeth, and God's doing something in Elizabeth that's a really great thing. So I'm going to connect myself to somebody that I know God is doing something great in them. And when we get together, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to find somebody of like faith. I'm going to find somebody who's feeling a stirring inside of them. I'm going to find somebody that God's been speaking to them, and we're going to get connected. And so as she's running up the hill country, it says it was probably about 100 miles that she went to get to the house of Elizabeth, probably on foot. It took her 4 days and 4 days of pondering, saying, what am I going to say when I get there? And when she gets there and she sees the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth is not far off, I think she kicks off her shoes, takes off running, says, Elizabeth, Elizabeth, are you in the house? I had a visitation from an angel and he told me something good about you. He told me that you were with child and he told me I was going to be overshadowed of the Holy Ghost. And Elizabeth steps out of the house and she says, Koranda mokul sika telalamohanda, rima mamahanda shika telalamohanda, Koranda mokul sika telalamohanda, rima mamahanda shika telalamohanda, Koranda mokul sika telalamohanda. I mean, the scripture says she's filled from the Holy Ghost at the sound of the salutation of Mary's womb. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it was a Holy Ghost hoedown, Holy Ghost party when Mary and Elizabeth get together, because what's being done of them is way bigger than they are. Hallelujah. The scripture says that John will be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And I told you last week, I think I know when this happened. The scripture says, and at the sound of your salutation, Mary, I felt something for the first time moved inside of me that I had never felt before. All my life I waited for the feeling of something inside of me to move. And when you begin to declare the word of the Lord to me, all of a sudden I felt life happen. I felt a quickening in my spirit. I felt something come alive in me. I felt my baby leap. My baby speaking the Holy Ghost. And all I can do is stand here and declare the Holy Ghost, because the one you're carrying in your womb is the Holy Ghost. The one who's in my womb is filled with the Holy Ghost. And all I can do is speak in tongues and declare the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because what's being done in us is bigger. It's greater than anything we've ever imagined. For with God, all things are possible. The scripture says she's filled with the Holy Ghost at the sound of Mary's salutation. What manner of a salutation is it causes people to just begin to speak in other tongues, begin to speak in the Holy Ghost, begins to be stirred up so in their spirit it causes something inside of them to come alive. The first movement of a baby inside the womb is called the quickening. It's called the quickening. The scripture says, since that same spirit, what? That raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Hallelujah. It will what? Quicken your mortal body. It'll cause you to feel life from the inside out. Hallelujah. How many know we are not an outside in people? We are an inside out people, that we feel the presence of the Holy Ghost from the inside out, the quickening of the power of God inside of us. Hallelujah. Comfort ye my people. The Comforter has come to bring comfort to his people. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. Hallelujah. I will not leave you. Bring me up John. Is it John 14 there, Carlin, about verse 26, whatever it is? 15 through 29. Jesus begins to speak to them some comforting words. Hallelujah. How many know the Holy Ghost comes to give you comfort? He is your comforter. Comfort ye my people. Hallelujah. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. I mean, no, we have a comforter that lives inside of us. The power of the Holy Ghost is inside of us. Hallelujah. And I was just thinking this morning, you know, if every time in our life we came to crisis, we just start speaking in tongues. If every time we were having a sad moment, we just start praying in the Holy Ghost. If every time that really in our life we were facing something that we didn't know how to handle, if we truly would release the Holy Ghost out of this vessel, and we really would trust the Holy Ghost to do what the Holy Ghost, the scripture says that it intercedes for us, and it's making intercession for us and groanings and utterings that we can't even comprehend or understand. I just say, when you're having crisis, let the Holy Ghost do the talking. He can talk plainer than I can. Let him do the interceding. Let him do the talking. But you know what happens? So many times we start reasoning, or we start trying to figure things out, and we get so much involved in what's going on, where if we would just stop and just say, just have a Holy Ghost moment. Number one, a whole lot of people around you probably wouldn't want to try to get in your conversation, tell you their opinions, their thoughts, and how they think you should do it. Amen. Hallelujah. And another thing I've said to you before, you can't praise and complain at the same time. You can't whine and talk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Truly, if we would allow that prayer and praise and that incense of God within us and really truly release the Holy Ghost, it would bring comfort. It would lead in God. in all truth. Anybody in here need any leadership today? You need some direction. You need some guidance from God. That's what you got the Holy Ghost for. Anybody need any comfort here today? That's what you got the Holy Ghost for. That's what the Holy Ghost does. If that same Spirit, since that same Spirit, that same quickening Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Ghost dwells in you, it will quicken, it will make alive your mortal body. Hallelujah. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus saith unto him, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We will dwell with him. Another translation says, we will dwell in him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Comforter. He's going to lead and guide and direct you. He's going to bring peace. He's going to lead you in the Spirit of truth. He's going to be your GPS system. He's going to be your guide. Hallelujah. How many know the power of the Holy Ghost? Elizabeth and John experienced the Holy Ghost before the Holy Ghost ever falls on the day of Pentecost. I mean, no, up to this point, we don't hear people being filled with the Holy Ghost. They'll say the Holy Ghost was with them, or the Spirit of God was with them. But how many know on the day of Pentecost in an upper room, when they were all in one mind and all in one accord, the scripture says that the Holy Ghost came and set upon all of them, and it filled the house. And when it filled up the house, it said they began to speak in other tongues, and everybody heard and understood in their own language. Hallelujah. And how many know on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up and says, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied, what? In the Old Testament by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. All flesh. I mean, no, we have the indwelling power, the anointing, the power of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost that lives and resides and dwells within us. When Mary and Elizabeth got together, they didn't start questioning things. They didn't start reasoning out. They didn't start, thinking how crazy this could have been. And maybe it was something I ate before I went to bed. Maybe had bad dreams, or, they didn't start doing. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost takes over. The Spirit of God within begins to minister. Amen. It wasn't the words that they said as much as the Spirit that connected. It said, at the sound of your salutation, the babe leaped in my womb. Hallelujah. How many know our salutation must be one that it causes those around us to have a leaping, an excitement, a stirring in their womb? Amen? A stirring, a leaping in your spirit. There should be something that connects with your spirit that causes you to come alive. At the sound of his voice. At the sound of the proclamation of what God is doing in the midst. You know, our testimony is powerful. Well, we began to declare, I was touched by it. Bernadine, she came up here this morning. She said, I want you to know that when I was in the hospital, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, was in the room with Bernadine when she was going through some things. The power of the Holy Ghost, he said, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you, but the power of the Holy Ghost. I may remember praying in our services, Father, I send the Holy Ghost to hospital rooms. I send the Holy Ghost to houses. I send the Holy Ghost to places all over this country that are in need. Amen? I mean, the Holy Ghost goes places we can't go. It does things we can't do. I told somebody the other day, I gave up a long time ago trying to be the Holy Ghost. One of the most freeing things I've ever done. Amen? Because sometimes we think it's our responsibility to control people, straighten people's lives out, you know, tell them and direct them and you know, get them. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost do that. Because that's what he sent the Holy Ghost to do. And if you can get it past the Holy Ghost, it's all right with me. But I'll guarantee you, if you ask the Holy Ghost, he's the Spirit of truth and he won't lie to you. See, if you got questions, ask the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you the truth. Amen. He'll lead and guide you into truth if you allow him to be your voice, if you allow him to be your guide. Amen. And so we can't do what the Holy Ghost can do, but the Comforter can be there. Amen. Hallelujah. Comfort ye, my people. The Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost in you is the comfort. And Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. This is called the Magnificat. Famous quotation of Mary. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, and behold, from henceforth all generations aren't going to call me crazy. They're not going to call me barren. They're not going to call me forsaken. They're going to call me blessed. Hallelujah. From henceforth all nations are going to call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. How many are glad we serve a generational God? His mercies are on us from generation to generation to generation. Hallelujah. He has showed strength in his arm. He has bared his holy arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. The story says they don't know if Mary stayed there for 3 months to avoid ridicule of what she would face from her people. Because at the moment she tells Joseph, he has two choices. He can bring her before the council, the Jewish council, and before his family, and he can have her stoned for being with child at a wedlock, to clear his name and to take away his disgrace. But the scripture says, but the angel Gabriel stops by the house of a man named Joseph. Said, Joseph, don't be fearful and don't be afraid, because that thing, while Joseph is trying to figure out in his mind, but see, Joseph's a righteous man. The scripture tells us that he's trying to figure out how he can put her away privily. King James says privately, how he can privately give her a writing of divorce and put her away without her being stoned for what she's just told him. I mean, what the law would do was stone you and destroy everything that God's trying to do in you. And so while he's trying to figure out what the law wants him to do, the angel Gabriel shows up. God begins to speak and says, don't be afraid to take her, Joseph, for that thing that's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It is a holy thing. Hallelujah. So she stays with Elizabeth for 3 months. Maybe it's to avoid ridicule. We don't really know that. Here's my thought. I think she ain't leaving that house till she sees that baby. Yeah. She not leaving that house till she ushers in that prophet and holds that baby in her hands and said, I have seen him who will prepare the way of the Lord. I'm not going back to my house until I see the fulfillment of the promise of what God has spoken. And when I see him, I'll know it won't belong to the Messiah. That I'll embrace the Messiah in my hands. Oh no, I'm not going home now. It's 6 months. I'm staying 3 months and I'm not going. Till I can hold in my hands and embrace the very promise of God. Do not leave now. Do not go home short of embracing the very promise that God shared in your spirit. If you're waiting on something, if you know something's about to happen big time, don't go home now. Now's not the time to leave Elizabeth's house. Stay there till you hold it. Stay there till you diaper it. Stay there till you see it. And let me tell you what, oh Elizabeth, see, they didn't have epidurals back then. They didn't have pain medications, drugs. The history says they stood on bricks, dug out a hole in the dirt. They put one handmaiden under this arm, one handmaiden under this arm. And that's how we do babies back in Jewish days. Now, I told you she was at least over 60 years of age when she did it. But guess what? 8 days later, she's in the temple with that baby, circumcising him and saying, call this baby's name John. Let me tell you what, when God's going to do it, it's not about your struggle. It's not about your labor. It's not about what you got to do to bring it forth. When God is doing it, it will come with ease and you will hold and embrace in your hand everything that God promised. Hallelujah. I'm not going home. It's not time to go home now. I'm not leaving the house of Elizabeth until I hold in my hands and I embrace the promise that I know God has spoken and declared on my life. Now's no time to run. Now's no time to leave. And now's no time to go home. Hallelujah. Because she just might need you under one of those arms. Somebody's going to have to get this baby when it comes. Hallelujah. Mary stays for 3 months, and after 3 months, she goes back home. I think after those 3 months, she don't really care what anybody else has got to say. Amen. I don't really care what you think. Don't care what you think about me. Don't care what you got to say, because I know what's happening in my life right here and right now is divine. Yes. I know it's appointed. I know it's been prophesied. I know it's been declared. And I know God will bring it to pass. How many know sometimes we got to come to the place in our lives that it don't matter what you think. It don't matter what you like. It don't matter even if you agree with me. It don't matter if you believe me. But I had a visitation from an angel Gabriel, and there's something big stirring. God is up to something big in the heavens. I just came from a 3-month revival with a woman named Elizabeth, and we had a Holy Ghost hoedown, Holy Ghost party. And there ain't no nothing like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Hallelujah. I have held in my hands, Jay, I snuggled that little baby who everybody said that woman is barren. Hallelujah. The promises of God in our life are yes and amen. Hallelujah. How many know we need some godly Elizabeths in the house? We need some godly Marys in the house. We need some Josephs that'll say, God, just show me your way. I'll do whatever you want me to do. If I know it's you, God, I'll do whatever I got to do. Hallelujah. I'll do whatever. Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. Hallelujah. Be it unto me according to your word. The Comforter. Now's no time to go home. Hang on until you see the completion and the promise of that baby come to pass. When Beth called, she said, Mom, we're going to have a baby today. I said, all right, I knew it. I felt it in my spirit. I just thought, I bet they don't send her home today. I bet we're going to have a baby. I said, I'll be there as soon as I can get there. When I get there, they'd started giving her the epidural and just started labor pains. I'm thinking, I'm here. I'm here for the night. I'm here. I'll help you breathe. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll hold up one arm if you need me to, you know, all those kind of things. But it didn't go the way we thought it would, and the baby's heartbeat started dropping. And the doctor says, we'll give you another chance or so. But if that baby's heart rate goes down, the oxygen gets cut off, and we're going to have to take this baby. I started praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Took everything I had not to cry in that hospital room with them, but I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I said, that is our baby. And so they came and they said, we're going to have to take the baby. And they go to rush her out. I kissed her on the cheek. I walked out. I started crying and praying in the Holy Ghost. We waited for a few minutes. I said, is the baby here yet? The nurse says, I can't tell you, but if I was you, I would walk down to that window, down the hallway. And as we did, we met her 6'3", big husband walking down the aisle, wiping tears out of his eyes. And I looked in that room and there laid that baby. I said, which one's ours? It's this one. That's our baby. And I stood there for a moment as everybody else got ready to crowd around that window. I told Dan, I said, Dan, I got to go see Beth. I said, because that's my baby. As excited I was about that baby, I knew she was good hands. But I said, I got to see Beth. I want to see my baby. And when I went to walk through the doors of the recovery room after her dad came out, I bawled and I just came down over me. And I thought, oh my goodness, I got to get myself together. Because not only am I her mom, I'm also her pastor. So one of those two's got to be tough here today. But I mean, know there's sometimes when you got to depend on the Holy Ghost. You got to trust the Holy Ghost for strength and power. And I went in and kissed her on the cheek and held myself together. But how many know there's nothing like embracing what has been promised to you? There's nothing like embracing what's been promised to you. Don't leave until you've held in your hands everything that God has promised for you today. Comfort ye my people. Declare to them that their warfare is over. Hallelujah. Declare to them, and I declare to you today, your warfare is over. If you've been warring, if you've been struggling, if you've been fighting for stuff, I'm declaring, hallelujah, this is the season. This is the season, hallelujah, to embrace everything God has granted to you. Lift your hands today and just say, Lord, I receive from you. I will not leave here short of embracing and holding in my hands everything that you have promised for me, everything you have declared for me. Father, more than anything, I declare peace in this house and in this season, Lord, because peace will bring direction and understanding. God, even when things don't work out according to the way we desire them, God, we can have the peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit to know you got everything under control and you've got it in your hands today. Lord, we declare this a season of miracles. We declare it a season of hope, and we declare it a season of embracing in our hands today, Lord, everything that you have said that you would bring to pass. And we give you glory and honor in all things in this house in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. That little thing that Robert just took gives him the ability to take it home, download it on the computer, and this afternoon you'll be able to get this message.